this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, friends. It's good to see you all. We continue a sermon series on hope. The children shared all kinds of wonderful things that embody hope. So I think they all got an A+ on the children's sermon. Kindness and the Lord and beloved community, all kinds of good answers. So we're talking about hope today. Good to see you, choir. But I have to confess something. I have to confess that I struggle with the word hope. I know I've preached two sermons on it already, but I struggle with this whole concept. I often hear the word hope used in careless ways, tossed about as if wishful thinking could reverse any number of horrific social ills. Every day we experience disruption and observe propaganda and slander and lies. Tension between people and groups rise. We hear about violence and cumbersome bureaucracies that block services to needy people. Faith, hope, and love, writes St. Paul, these are the essentials, but hope seems hard for some of us these days. Hope for a ceasefire that's permanent. Hope for the best leaders to be elected. Hope even for the best leaders to stand and run for election. Hope for a complete reversal of global warming. Hope only seems to set me up for disappointment. Any of you in the same boat? Well, I'm relieved to know that we aren't the only ones who feel this. Oscar Romero was Catholic Bishop of El Salvador. He was the one who criticized those who at his time abused the power, those who abused their power. He criticized those who abused their power and then preyed on the marginalized and the most vulnerable in his country. When he was still living, a journalist once asked him how it was that he could go on hoping in the face of so many horrific things. And Oscar Romero's response startled the interviewer. He said, "I do not need to feel hope. Because if you need to feel hope, then you're courting despair. And if you court despair, you'll stop working. So try to wean yourself from this need to have hope. Try to have faith instead. Faith to do what you have to and stop worrying about whether or not you are effective or important. Worry about what is possible for you to do. This is always much greater than you imagine." I find such power in these words. While some might find it heresy to say that we should surrender hope, I find Bishop Romero calling us to do good no matter the results. To love, regardless of how much we move the needle, to do the right thing, even if we feel like it doesn't make a difference. The late philosopher Emmanuel Levinas said it this way. He wrote, "Faith is not a question of the belief or lack of belief in God. It is believing that love without reward is valuable." Love without reward is valuable. I want to share with you that earlier this week, I spent most of the week in Kerrville with about 20 of my colleagues who serve on the Board of Ordained Ministry. We were at a week-long retreat. Side note, I've learned as I've gotten older that retreat is just another word for a long meeting. There were no spa treatments, no bonbons. But all joking aside, the important work that we were about was interviewing candidates for ministry, and they are asked all sorts of questions after a lengthy process and submitting all of their paperwork about theology, because we know that what we believe and how we believe will impact how we live our lives and how we act. Faith, hope, and love. These three things remain, but what are we to think of them? How are we to believe? How are we to live in faith? How are we to have hope? And how are we to love? Well, today's gospel lesson includes one of the most well-known scriptures in the entire Bible, "For God so loved the world." If you believe that this world is mostly just something that we have to endure before getting to the pie in the sky, then you might not care how you take care of this planet. Believe humans are created in the image of God, or believe that mostly they're just full of sin. And regarding your answer, it will make a difference in how you treat other people. It will even make a difference in how you treat yourself. The gospel lesson today is also filled with other words that for some of us might be offensive and troubling. This talk of light and darkness, evil ways, and judgment. But I think of that moment during the pandemic when the entire country was made aware of George Floyd's murder. Perhaps in part because more of us were at home watching the news and looking at social media, a light shined and exposed this ugly truth of racism and police brutality. It was brought to light, and people far and wide were convicted to deepen their anti-racism work once again. You see, hope is found in the hard work of bringing to light the injustices of this world rather than sweeping them under the rug. Beautiful and terrible things happen in this world. Love, the sacrificial love of Christ, the love which we are called to, exposes the terrible so that it can be dealt with and held accountable. Countless saints have followed in the footsteps of Jesus to bring injustices to light, including Archbishop Romero. He was the one who once said, "This is what we are about. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold a future promise." In 1980, Romero would be assassinated during the middle of celebrating Mass. His story is held along many others who have loved sacrificially, and I believe his story is held within the great love story of God, the story of God whose own child died a most horrific death, Jesus, who died in the name of love. As you and I, as we continue our Lenten journey, as we make our way to the pain and agony of Holy Week, and even as we remember Jesus' death, I hold within my very being this news that the worst things are never the last things. On the days when I look upon a troubled world filled with troubling events and troublemakers, yes, it can be hard to have hope. But I know that I am called to love and to do the good that I can do anyway. I want to close with a quick story. Amy Butler is a pastor who has served all kinds of churches, including Riverside in New York and churches in New Orleans, and she currently lives in Hawaii. She is not one to bury her head in the sand. Her eyes are wide open to the pain of this world, but her eyes and heart are also open to the beauty of this world. She is one who likes to quote Frederick Buechner, who said, "Here is the world, beautiful and terrible things will happen. Do not be afraid. Pastor Butler's first book came out earlier this year. It's actually called Beautiful and Terrible Things. And in this book, she expands upon her attempt to live her life by paying attention to both the good and the hard. What I want to tell you about this morning is not the content of her book, but rather to talk about the cover of the book. You see, it's her first book, and she wanted to take pride in the cover of the book. So she contacted the publisher, and when they were visiting about the graphic for the front of the book, the publisher told her, "Your writing appeals to a certain demographic of middle-aged women, and we think that all of our research points to the fact that they like botanicals. And so we'd recommend something in that genre for the front cover. We've given you some examples here." She goes on to talk about all of the dreadful samples that she was given. Finally, Amy Butler, with her Hawaiian roots and living once again in Honolulu, had an epiphany, and she knew immediately which flower she wanted to have on the front of her book cover. And yes, you've guessed it, it's the flower that's on the front of your bulletin. It's a bright red flower called the Ohialuhua. The Ohialuhua has an amazing story. You see, when a volcano erupts, the lava will flow and kill everything in its path. It takes a long time, but decades, decades later, life will shoot up from the cracks left behind from the flow of the lava. At first, there are green shoots that are prickly and gnarly and not very attractive. It takes some time longer. And finally, all at once, the Ohialuhua flower bursts forth with vivid red colors from these bushes. Pastor Butler believes those flowers stand as a witness to the power of love and the gift of hope from God. And I'd add that it's another reminder that the worst things are never the last things. Amen.